down the sinuous passage. Only his screams followed her. Doctor Who, The Art of Destruction, by Steve Cole, read by Don Warrington. Engines rasping like a giant's dying breaths, the TARDIS forced itself into existence in the middle of the crop field. Finally, there it stood, improbable and serene under the baking sun, an old-fashioned police box like a big blue blot on reality. Its owner sprang from the box with the grace of a gangly gazelle, eyes wide and dark, brown hair bouncing over his brow. He puffed out his cheeks. Flaming hot, isn't it? Sawn in the Sahara sort of hot. Rose Tyler smoothed down her light blue T-shirt so that it covered the waistline of her short denim skirt. Where are we this time?
Not sure, the doctor admitted. Lots of weird alien static about when we dropped out of space-time. Clogged the sensors.
So this is a planet that sees a lot of space traffic, then? She stepped out and looked round at the rows of towering crops.
Seems quiet enough.
These plants are weird, though.
Kind of like fat corn.
Sort of. The doctor agreed, taking hold of a fleshy leaf and tearing it. A gloopy liquid oozed out.
Aloe aloe, or rather, aloe barbadensis.
Aloe vera.
Don't call me Vera.
Ha ha. Good old aloe vera. Great for sunburn.
He glanced reproachfully at the blinding sun, smeared some of the ooze on the back of his neck, and set off along the nearest line of crops.
So, high-yield corn that also produces aloe vera. What does that tell you?
Rose hurried along after him.
That this planet sells magic seeds?
That here be humans, probably future humans. Could be a colony, don't know, though.
He stopped and jumped up and down on the dry soil.
Feels like Earth. Earth-ish, anyway.
But what about the alien pollution stuff? Rose asked.
Seems to me...
Don't move,
snapped a low, warning voice close by.
As I was saying...
The doctor held obligingly still as gun barrels pushed out from both sides of the foliage.
Seems to me we're in something nasty and smelly, but probably very good for the crops here.
Rose had half expected alien nasties to reveal themselves holding the high-tech rifles, so it was with relief that she saw they were very definitely human. Two black men. One was in his 30s, the other was around her age and good-looking.
"How did you two get in here?"
asked the older man. The doctor nodded cheerily to the plants waving around them.
"We often just crop up."
"Basil? Do you recognize them?"
The younger man sounded defensive.
"Why should I? You spent enough time at the aid camps."
The doctor cocked his head to one side.
"Why should you think we come from the aid camps, Mr.
Chief Overseer, name Solomon Nabar?"
He eyed the doctor mistrustfully.
"You speak Arabic?"
He gave Rose a wily smile.
"Of course we do.
Or rather, the TARDIS does," she thought. "The ship was telepathic. It got inside your head and translated any language."
"Now, you were saying about the aid camps."
"Oh, come on, man. This is Chad."
"Chad? How cool is that? How hot, I mean. We're in Africa, Rose."
"And don't get me wrong, but from the color of your skin and speaking the language, you've got to be one of three things. Aid worker, journal, or activist?"
"Intelligent reasoning. Like it."
The doctor grinned.
"Completely wrong, though. We're travelers, that's all. I'm the doctor, and this is Rose."
Rose was busy angling her head to check out Basel's watch. It obligingly told her it was 1647 on the 11th of April 2118. She felt a familiar tingle of disbelief. To these blokes, her time was as dim and distant as the Victorians were to her. She wondered at all the things that must have changed since her own day. But as the sound of screaming tore through the sweltering afternoon, she realized that some things would always stay the same. Bazel's head jerked sideways towards the screams.
Sounds like Adiel.
Or like RQ, Rose said. As they broke the cover of the crop field, Rose caught her first proper look at her surroundings. A huge mountain loomed like a thick shadow against the pristine blue of the sky. A futuristic building hugged the ground beneath it, all metal frames and dark windows. A short black woman was running frantically to meet them, some Star Trek tricorder-style gadget in her hand.
Kanyuchi, she panted. We found some weird gold stuff, and it...
She buried her face in Bazel's T-shirt.
It ate him.
This sounds right up our street, roared the doctor with embarrassing enthusiasm. Adiel didn't even seem to notice.
He's stuck in the chamber, couldn't get out.
Rose, help Bazel look after Adiel, the doctor instructed.
Just quickly.
She took hold of his shirt collar and pulled him close towards her.
It's 2118. Is that futurish enough to explain that space pollution you picked up?
Nope, he simply said. Right then, Solomon, I'm afraid you're going to have to trust me. Show me the way to these tunnels.
The entrance doors gave onto an access tunnel. Slowly, Solomon's eyes adjusted to the crimson glare.
How far does the network stretch? The doctor asked.
Several kilometers. We've only cleared a few hundred meters so far. The tubes were very fragile to the east. We are trying to shore them up, but resources are limited.
What resources?
Aha!
The bat chittered up above as the doctor's exclamation echoed round the cave.
I get it. You're farmers.
This is Agricultural Technology Unit 12.
Farmers farming fungus inside a volcano. Genetically modified, is it, like the crops?
Solomon grunted, continuing onwards. The world needs food, and there's precious little land left in which to grow it.
So you're using your agricultural technology to grow grub in the less obvious places?
He considered.
Yep, under a volcano. That's not at all obvious. And if we're in Chad, we must be walking about underneath Mount Tarsus, right? Hang on. Tarsus is still active, isn't it?
No eruptions for 80 years.
Then aren't you overdue one?
How do you think the Agri Board beat them down on the land price?
The doctor rounded a turn in the passage and came to a sharp halt. Standing in front of the entrance, arms wide open, was what looked to be a golden statue.
Kanyuchi, Solomon whispered.
He started forwards, but the doctor held him back.
I'll examine him. I'm the doctor, remember?
He advanced warily on the statue.
Though, even from this distance, I'd say he was dead.
He gingerly tapped Kanyuchi on the arm, and a dull clang rang round the tunnel.
This stuff is holding him upright. Here's a funny thing, though. Didn't Adiel say she left him inside the chamber?
He must have struggled out.
Doesn't look like he was frozen mid-struggle. He squeezed through that exit and planted himself right in front of it.
Trying to keep whatever did this to him in there,
Solomon reasoned.
Yeah, he does look like he's standing guard, doesn't he?
Solomon rubbed the bridge of his nose.
I must tell Finn.
Who's this Finn again?
Director of Development in charge here.
The doctor frowned.
Suppose I'd better have a word with him. Come on.
He stalked away. Solomon followed, aware of the sightless, glittering eyes of Kanyuchi on his back, trying not to imagine the last things they had seen. Adiel sat rigid on a threadbare sofa, staring into space. Bazel had prized the tricorder thing from her hands, and now she fumbled idly with the beads on her necklace, which sparkled in the dusty sunlight.
Hope your friend's all right.